Blog Talk Radio.
Episode we have here of Suspense Radio. I am your host, John Robb, and we got a fabulous show coming up for you tonight, or today, actually, afternoon. I lose track of time. I've been getting late last night from the RT Book Convention that's going on down here in Los Angeles. But we got Lise Wheel on here talking about book number 3 of the Triple Threat series called Heart of Ice, which was just released on Tuesday. So it's time to sit back and relax because 60 minutes of Suspense Radio starts right now. And again, welcome to Suspense Radio. We are glad that you have joined us today because you followed her here from Fox News analyst all the way through Face of Betrayal to Hand of Fate to now Heart of Ice, which just came out, the third book in the Triple Threat novel series. So we're pleased to bring back on Lise Wheel. Lise, how you doing? Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, John, I'm having a great afternoon, especially being on your program. Thank you so much for having me back.
And you know what? I was sitting here thinking right before the show, and I'm like, has it been 3 books already? Where's the time gone?
I know. Isn't it incredible? Every April, this is the 3rd April, we've been doing this. And you know what? They just get, in my mind, they get scarier and scarier, the books.
Yeah, and you know,
books.
Yeah, you kind of think about it and you say it's a great Easter present, but is it something that you really want to put in an Easter basket with the chocolate bunny?
Well, you know what? I mean, seriously, it's a real thriller, but
yeah.
It's published by Thomas Nelson, and so you know, as in my other books, there are no swear words, there's no graphic violence. I mean, my 13-year-old daughter and her girlfriends read it. In fact, I was dropping them off at the movie yesterday, and they were already on to Heart of Ice, and I had three 13-year-olds, and they're like, "Oh, Ms. Wheel, we're having so much fun." I'm like,
right.
"Oh, that's great." So if you know that your 13-year-old can read it, and it's being sold in Christian bookstores, that it's the story that sells. I mean, it's a story that's exciting and it gets you in all tense and excited about it, but not the bad words or anything like that. There's nothing of that there.
Right. Well, you've taken the characters here through, you know, you've taken them through the web and all the way
right.
through from Face of Betrayal through Hand of Fate, now into Heart of Ice, where they face, the beautiful woman killer this time,
yes.
in your character Elizabeth Avery. So how kind of has the evolution taken place now from Face of Betrayal through Heart of Ice with Allison and Nicole?
And Cassidy. Well, I was just so interested in the mind of a sociopath. I mean, really, what goes through that person's mind? And trying to have a little bit of fun with it, in that we always think of it as the Jared Loughners next door with that horrible face and the horrible deeds that they're planning and no consciousness. But that's not true. I mean, some of the most attractive, accomplished, smart, people that are around us. Could be our neighbor, could be, you know, somebody we go shopping with, could be a colleague. They can be a sociopath. They can be a psychopath. That is a person with no consciousness of guilt. O.J. Simpson, in my mind anyway, is a perfect example of that. I really do believe that he's convinced himself he didn't commit those two murders, even though it's pretty clear that he did, again, in my mind.
Right.
So, but a person, I mean, what really goes into the makeup of a true sociopath and how well she is able to manipulate the people around her? And very, again, smart, accomplished people, men and women, and she just plays what she calls the game. And in her mind, and she knows exactly which proverbial buttons to push to get people to do what she wants them to do. And it's really scary because it could be true. I mean, it really is sort of the person that walks amongst us. And one of my hopes in writing the book was, of course, it's fiction, but you're going to get some real life lessons on what to be looking for in people and people around you and kind of some warning signs.
Now, when you started doing some research and you started getting trying to get into the mind of, like, the sociopath,
right,
were you kind of worried what you might find that is probably outside of what you might have thought going into it?
Yes, of course, because you never know. I mean, looking at what people are capable of doing and, you know, what is the evil that I'm going to uncover? Now, I had been a federal prosecutor for years, and I prosecuted murder-for-hire cases, so I'd seen, you know, some of that. And in the motives of why people hire people to murder, why they decide to murder themselves, what it is. And I, you know, you would think it's always just about money. You would think that's just
right,
a natural, but it's not. Money is often a part of it. But I've never really found it to be, with sociopaths, to be the end-all, ultimate game. It's more about love, revenge, their own histories, and the insecurities, the ability that they have then after, you know, traumatic events in their lives to move on without any kind of sense of moral guilt because they feel entitled. You know, they feel entitled,
yeah,
to the world. And anybody that's caught in their web, well, they're just stupid and isn't Elizabeth smart, you know, that she can just catch all of these little people in her web that can do exactly what she wants them to do. And it's a little scary. I mean, then the question, of course, is, you know, unlike the other mysteries, this is really a thriller in that you know what Elizabeth is up to pretty early on. You have a
right,
sense for her. You as the reader, I bring the reader in. But the scary thing is what she's going to do to the people she brings in, including Cassidy, the TV reporter, who is very gullible, I should say. You know, Cassidy wants to be loved. She's in a very difficult profession. She's getting a little older. She's worried about, you know, her life and all of these existential questions that she has. And so she is susceptible to somebody like an Elizabeth that can come in and flatter her and bring her in and get her to buy clothes for her and things like that, you know, as girlfriends do, kind of thing.
Yep.
But the evil lurking underneath is just so astounding.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of bringing back the cat and the mouse kind,
yes,
of game,
absolutely,
back and forth. Because you know who the killer is, you know what they're,
yes,
up to, so it's that cat and the mouse game that you kind of get to see them play off the other characters.
That's
which,
a great analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
And
which
because
is something that, you know, is kind of stepping outside the box to write and makes it more challenging for yourself to have to do that.
It was, because, you know, in the other books, the mystery was always resolved at the end. And, of course, there were clues that were given, because I can't stand it when authors, you know, ended up, and even if you had been the most astute reader, there was no chance that you were going to figure it out. That's really annoying,
right,
to me. It's like, come on, give people a break. You know, don't cheat your reader. But this one, I kind of wanted to flip it. So the readers brought in right away. Even the reader doesn't know quite the extent, and I don't want to give too much away, but they don't quite know the extent to which Elizabeth is willing to go to get what she wants. And so the reader is brought in kind of to her mind, and then looking at Allison, Nicole, and Cassidy from the outside. And we're rooting for them. If you've read the other books, or even if you haven't, you're rooting for them because they are, you know, they're stand-up, really wonderful women who go through a lot of issues, and we talk about a lot of, you know, issues that they're going through, and whether it's been domestic violence with Cassidy, or in this case, Nicole gets breast cancer, and so she's dealing with that.
Wow.
But we're rooting for them. You know, we really are. And right. Elizabeth is just kind of sneaking up like that cat and playing with the mouse. I mean, a cat, if you've ever seen the cat and mouse game, and my cat's probably going to be coming around the corner to look at me now because I'm telling on her. But they'll grab something little like that, and they don't just snap on it and you know, break their neck. They play. Then the mouse will run away. And then the cat will just come up behind it and bat it around a little bit more with their paws and do it again. Whereas they have the strength. They could just kill it right there, like you know, more like a dog would do with a vermin or something. But they don't do that. Cats are interesting that way.
Cats are very cunning, and definitely in that way. When my cat does the exact same thing, just runs around and just bats around at it,
right.
You know, seeing what it can do. And then finally, I guess, bats it so much that it decides
right.
on its own, but they never really meant to do it.
No, exactly. There's no, yeah, meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, get it, please.
I know, get rid of it, yeah.
Enough already.
So talking about Elizabeth Avery here, because, you know, she's your latest dark victim, or
dark villain,
actually.
Dark, yeah.
Would you consider her the darkest, you know, now in the third book of the Triple Threat series?
I think so. I think because she's not overt. I mean, she's not out there so that anyone can see her. I mean, we all, I think, feel fairly safe in our lives, in our neighborhoods, knowing that if we run across somebody and we get this really bad vibe, okay, that's not a good person. Or sometimes, you know, you can just see it in their face or the way they interact with people that we really kind of need to steer clear of that person. I think an Elizabeth Avery is a much more scary character than that, because it's not true what you see on the outside. It's the old adage of don't judge a cover by its book. It could not be more true with Elizabeth. So she's more frightening, I think, to the rest of us, because how do we ferret it out? How do we look for those signs in people that they have that gene, that ability to bring us in and manipulate us and lie to us? Because most of us, I don't know, I'm a horrible liar, John. If I lie, my face gets red.
Yeah.
I can't look at you. I mean, you can tell. I mean, they're major tells. Whereas
right.
Elizabeth, she, you know, lies like a rug and lies beautifully. And that's scary.
You know, it's even scarier from someone who says they can't lie to get somebody who writes somebody who can do it so well.
Well, she's,
you know,
not based after me, I promise you.
Right.
But no, I did a lot of work. I took a lot of, you know, my experience and melded it with research that I've done, obviously, a lot of research, a lot of connections with psychologists and clinical analysis and psychiatrists. I really research my books pretty well, I think, especially for fiction, because I want the readers to, you know, you're not going to get cheated. You're not going to get cheated by the story. You're not going to get cheated by the research. You're going to feel like at the end of the book you really learned something as well as was entertained. And the ending is, I think, the most exciting ending I've ever written. I can't imagine it much more exciting than that.
Yeah. Well, I want to remind everybody here, we're talking here with Lise Wheel, and her third book is Heart of Ice. You can find it out at leasewheelbooks.com. where you have everything listed up there, and so people can go to your website to check everything out, where you have your blogs, your links, your books.
Absolutely, Amazon.com, every place,
Amazon,
should,
yep.
Barnes & Noble, it should be everywhere. And I'd love to, I mean, one thing I should definitely let you know is that I look at every email that comes in at leasewheelbooks.com, and I pretty much will respond to everything. I mean, I'll stay up mm-hmm. as late as it takes to respond, because I'm just so appreciative of the outpouring of readers and supporters that have really gotten into Allison Nicole and Cassidy's story. And when I first started writing, I think they were characters to me, these three women.
Right.
And now it's a little scary. I think I go to sleep and, okay, Nicole, what would you do? Okay, Cassidy, what's going on? Okay, Allison.
Yeah.
You know, they're the proverbial voices in my head. And they've become real people to me. And I try to think about, well, what would she do in this circumstance? I mean, how would she react? And they're so different. And there's some humor there. I mean, Cassidy is just such a little bumbler. It's funny. And Nicole is very, you know, she keeps kind of everything at arm's length. But her walls are starting to come down a little bit, especially after she goes through things. And Allison is trying to make her way in the world, and there's a Christian element to it. Allison's very Christian, and so she tries to talk to the other two about faith. And so there are all of these different layers that are going on, I guess.
Well, and speaking of, you know, how you're saying that the characters and, you know, have just been such a part of you now and that you answer every email, have you considered, because the RT Book Convention is going on now in Los Angeles, that you, you know, that you're going to go out to these book conventions and go out to the fans and, you know, be on these panels and talk about things like that? Is that something that you have in the future that you think you're going
to
do?
I would love to do that. I would love to do it. I don't even know where the opportunities are. So, you know, let me know, email me or whatever. I don't even know. But I'd love to. Are you kidding? I'd love to go out and meet folks and talk to them. It's so much fun to meet people that, you know, because I sit in my little study and write and do my research and all of that. It's great to get out and actually meet people that know these ladies.
Yeah, well, the biggest one is coming up for you in July, which is going to be at Thriller Fest, right in New York City at the Hyatt by Grand Central Station. They have it there every year.
Oh, my goodness, of course
ICW.
I'd love to go. Yes,
yeah,
well, you...
so, and that's for the International Thrill Writers. I will send you all the information.
I was going to say, yes.
Yeah. Because I'm telling you, we went last year, and it's an event that I tell every author that at least should go there once, because when you're going to get Andrew Gross and authors like Steve Barry or James Patterson, they're going to be in a room, and they're going to tell you what they've done and what they, you know, what they do and things like that. I mean, you can just pound your brain with just much more information.
I would love to do that.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's fabulous. Definitely send me the information. I will be there. That sounds great. It's right in New York City?
It's right in New York at the Hyatt at Grand Central. It's the week of July 4th.
Oh, I'll be there. I'm there, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of going forward, I mean, now that we're at book three, and again, I can't believe, I mean, we're talking, well, I guess it's been 2 years. You know, 2 years since you had the third book come out, and I don't know if your book deal was three books or if it was to be more, but what's going to happen now in the future with the Triple Threat?
We're working on the next book. It is not written yet. We're trying to figure out exactly where we want to go. The way we're talking, something really, really big is going to happen in this next book. And I'm not quite sure I'm ready to have it happen yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that's maybe where I'm going to go. I can't say more than that.
Yeah.
Yes, there is more life to the Triple Threat. But, you know, I really have to say I think they've been building one after the other. I wrote Heart of Ice almost 9 months ago, I guess I turned it in.
Yeah.
And so what I do when a new book is coming out, as it did this week, is the week before I read it again. Because I'm already working on the next one, and, you know, so I'm already thinking about the next idea, and I need to refresh my memory before I go back, and I read it in a night and a half, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this really is good.
Yeah.
This is really good. Because by the time you turn a book in, you're so exhausted. You know, you've just been living and breathing this, and you think, I'm turning it in. I hope it's okay. But you have no... you know, real perspective because you're so close to it. It's like anything else in life, any other project that you're working on, that by the time you actually turn it in, you have, you know, you're so bleary-eyed, you're not even sure. And so it took me, you know, then I went back to it 9 months later, and my daughter, as I said, my daughter and her friends are reading it, and it's like, okay, this is really good. This catches you. You know, I would just say to people, when you go to the bookstore, just at least give me the first chapter. Read through the first two chapters. They're short. They're like 3 to 5 pages each. They're real short. And tell me if it catches you. Because in those first two chapters, I really try to set things up pretty well.
And that's the one thing that I'm a big person on, and I tell people, like, when I go to these conventions and I meet, you know, like Allison Brennan and D.P. Lyle and, you know, these authors and Heather Graham, and I tell them, I say, look, I am a 40-page person. If you're telling me that you write suspense and you write thrillers and you haven't got me in 40 pages, I will not finish.
No,
so
and
I'm just
you
telling you right now.
Yeah,
that's
you
what
shouldn't.
I do.
If you're writing, you know, a nonfiction, a biographical kind of thing, or something where
right.
a presidential memoir or something where you know you're in this for a real long haul, but when you're writing suspense, mystery, thrillers, you want to be able to catch people and grab them right up front. I'm the same way, and I want to know that I'm putting an investment of my time into this, and I want to know that this is going to carry me through, that I'm going to not, I'd rather read this than watch whatever's on television. You know, I'd rather read this than even maybe sometimes go out to the movie. But that when I start this, it's not going to take me 100 pages to get into it. So that's why I think if you read just the first two chapters, it should bring you in. If it doesn't, then I failed.
Well, here's another question, and I know, because all your books, Face of Betrayal, Hand of Fate, they all bring everybody in, and we know Heart of Ice, which is something that we're going to review here, because we just received it, actually, not too long ago.
Yeah, it just came out. Yeah, it just came out on Tuesday.
Yeah, it did. Just came out on Tuesday. So everybody, it's all available right now, so you don't have to wait for it. And if you got the Kindle, guess what? While you're listening to Lisa on the you can sit here and you can just download it. I mean, you just download it. Because that's the great thing about the Kindles and the e-readers and everything.
It's amazing. And you get it on the Nook. I mean, you can get it everywhere, which is great.
Now, here's a question I wanted to ask, and I forgot to ask on the last one when you were on with Hand of Fate. But because you, since you answer all your emails, and you have Cassidy, Allison, and Nicole, kind of a two-part question. Do you receive more email about one character in particular more than the others? And have you thought of ever about saying, you know what, I'm going to pull one of these characters out and kind of put them in their own book by themselves and kind of see how it works?
You know, I cannot give too much away.
Did I just happen to hit on something that I should have?
You may have. I will not confirm or deny.
Okay. Typically, when people say that, that's a confirmation.
I will not confirm or deny.
Okay.
But you are a very perceptive person. Sometimes, I guess because I was trying to bring in different elements of my background, I'm a TV reporter, I was a federal prosecutor, and my dad was an FBI agent, I worked with a lot of female FBI agents, I really wanted to bring all of those aspects in, and so there's going to be more of that. I would say if I get asked about anyone the most, it's probably Allison, the federal prosecutor. Though, if I did do something without the three of them, I would want to bring in an interplay with the media as well, because I'm a firm believer that the law does not exist alone or separately from the media anymore. I mean, the media really has a huge impact on how cases, especially the big cases, the cases in the high profile, are handled. And I think that's an interesting, again, a layer to bring in for people, because when in my books, you're always going to feel like you're getting the real behind the scenes stuff. Like when Cassidy's talking about being in the studio, well, that stuff happens. You know, what happens to her? That stuff happens. When Nicole talks about the FBI, that stuff happens. And certainly with Allison in front of the grand jury and doing an investigation, you are going to get the real scoop on how an investigation would proceed, what people would actually do. Because I hate it when I watch television.
This ain't CSI.
You know, CSI is pretty darn good, actually, because they have people on there that consult for them. But there are other shows that are a lesser quality than CSI, and I don't really want to name any of them, but I just tune them out because I just sort of roll my eyes and go, that would never happen. And I guess, you know, that's great because it looks sexy or whatever, but it would never happen. And so you're kind of taking me as a fool, and I don't have a lot of time to be fooled. You know, entertainment is entertainment, but I want my entertainment to be smart, too, and informative. I don't want to feel like I'm just being dumbed down, too. I don't want that. And that was one of the reasons that I started writing these books.
Well, and the reason why I kind of brought up the question is because, you know, after book three, and it's kind of a transition thing, is that you've written three books. So you're talking about 1,100, 1,200 pages now with these three characters, that the setup is kind of, you know, you've kind of been able to build them to a certain level now where book four is kind of the transition, you know, big kind of hit where you can kind of shake things all to hell up and then kind of, boom, send it back out, because then it's kind of a refresh of the series and people are, you know, because there's a lot of authors that do the problem where it's the same story from the same people and the same characters and it never changes. But book four is the kind of one where you can just kind of blow the rules out of the water and then bam, people are like, well, I didn't even know that was coming. And then you set up four, five, and six coming down the line, and then that's kind of how it all rolls.
I will neither confirm nor deny. Mm-hmm. You are good, man.
Yeah, well, you've been doing this
but
so
I will
long,
neither...
you just kind of see it. You know what? And the people that do it like yourself, that you cannot confirm or deny, those are the ones who are in it for the long haul, and the ones who, and really, and I know that there's a lot of authors, you know, Patterson, Ivanovich, you know, Sanford, the one I'm not afraid to mention, that have written the same characters 27 times, people are bored. But now they're selling just because they're selling.
Selling of their name value, right.
Yeah, and that's it. But you know what? The characters are boring, and people are bored with them, and they are. And it's the same thing. How many times, you know, can they? Do you think that the person's going to happen to? And you write on the back of the book, this is now the number one killer ever in the world. And now, well, either the cop gets superhuman or the villain gets superhuman. One of the two. So I like it when you can kind of take it and blow it up. And I know that that's what you were going to do. I just feel it. I just felt it because, you know, you're very intelligent, and that's what you do. You shake things up, and that's how you do it. Keep it fresh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you'll find Heart of Ice is very fresh, especially because of the way that these characters react.
Right.
We're putting them in a completely different setting. In other words, in the last two books, the first two books, there was a crime that was committed, right? You see that in the first scene, okay? With Jim Fate, he's the radio talk show host, and he's murdered in the first scene. And so it's all set up there, who was, you know, the murderer. And with Katie Converse in Face of Betrayal, this intern that's gone missing. We don't know that she's been murdered in the first scene, but we've got a pretty clear idea that an ill fate has met her. With this, I've completely switched it. So our protagonists, our heroines, are in the dark. They don't know anything.
Right.
They're just bopping along in their lives, and the evil is behind them and coming towards them to the point where it's almost the grandiose of this evil is incredible, and the manipulation of this character, not just to our protagonists, but to the people around us. And that's what also I thought was so interesting, is to see how she manipulates everybody else.
Right.
Is fascinating. From the grocery cashier who's, you know, she's being at the checkout stand, and how she manipulates him, to, you know, to Cassidy and how she brings her in and sues her and talks to her in insecurities. I almost said incompetencies. I didn't quite mean that, although she is incompetent in some ways. She's very cute, you know.
Yeah.
But she's very insecure. And so, and just the ability of a person, because we don't run into sociopaths every day, but when we do, this will give you a primer onto what to look for.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, Lise, it's always great having you on, and I know you have to go. You're up against the time.
I've got the important thing, getting my daughter to soccer, and then going
to
my son for baseball.
I know, and that's a normal Saturday in the life here of, you know, of you, and that's just the way you got to do it.
Well, I so much
and
appreciate it.
And we're off to the RT Book Festival, too, so we're all hitting it.
Excellent. And will you send me the information? Because I'd really like
absolutely.
To go to that conference
absolutely.
In New York. You said the July 4th. I'm around, and
yeah,
I go.
Yeah, it's the week of July 4th. It's like July 6th through the 10th, I believe. So it's past July 4th. It's that Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay, and let me know when you're going to be there, so I'll try to, because I'm in every day, and that's
right.
I go right through there. I commute through Grand Central, so
yep.
That's easy as pie. So just let me know. It'd be fun to actually meet you in the flesh.
Absolutely, will do. And you have a great day, and good luck on baseball and soccer.
All right. Thank you so much. And just remember Heart of Ice, and go to leasewheelbooks.com and
exactly.
check it all out, and I will respond. I promise you, my kids know I'll stay up as late as it takes.
There you go. You have a great one, Lise, and enjoy your day.
All right. Thanks, John. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. So, again, everybody, that is Lise Wheel. The book is Heart of Ice. It is out now, number 3 in the Triple Threat series. LiseWheelBooks.com. That's LiseWheel books.com. You can find out all the information. She's on Facebook. She updates her blog. She's now going, you know, she does a lot of different things. She answers all the emails. What better thing can you do than to have an author actually, you know, email you back, you know, when you send in a question? So let her know, you know, let her know what you think of the book, how things are going, you know, this and that. She's not confirming or denying, but book 4 is going to be a shakeup, and we know it's probably going to be out next April because her books are out in April. You can find it in all formats. So definitely something that you want to go check out, because, you know, this is the Triple Threat series is one that you should definitely have on your shelf if you are a suspense, you know, thriller reader. So I want to thank Kirst again so much for coming on, and we are, you know, this is the second time we've had her on, and it's always so fascinating to be able to talk to her about, you know, everything that's else, because she does so many other things, but you just talk about, just straight about her writing, and because, you know, that's the fascinating part of what she does in my eyes. Now, you know, there's another thing that, you know, we have here is there's a lot of more new releases that are out, and the thing that you go to Amazon that I find interesting, because, you know, I always go to Amazon to try to find the new releases to see what's out there, is when you go there and you click and you find out what the new hot releases are, it seems that, and I don't know if this is by accident or if this is by purpose, but on just the top 20, I think that 15 out of the top 20 new releases, and they're saying, you know, putting them in order, are all electronic books. Now, I don't, like I said, I don't know if Amazon is doing this on purpose to say, you know, that the Kindle stuff is the stuff that, you know, is selling the most and everything else and the hardcovers and everything. And I know that some of those numbers back it up. But do people, that many people, really have that many Kindles right now to be able to, you know, go out and buy these books? I don't know. I know that if you're, you know, be a little cautious, go out there, check out, you know, when you're in an airplane or in a hotel, wherever you're at, and see how many Kindles or electronic readers you see. And just see how many regular books you see. I don't think that it's caught up yet. I think Amazon is kind of fudging the numbers a little bit to make it like the Kindles are, you know, everyone's buying these electronic books, because why wouldn't they? I mean, why wouldn't they not want to have less warehouse space, you know, less inventory, things like that, because you don't have to have, you know, you don't have to store an e-book. You don't have to store it anywhere. You just have it go right there electronically. So I'm not saying they're doing anything. I'm just saying that I think it looks a little bit suspicious to me, but, you know, that's just me. And again, go to Amazon and check out everything that's going on, because Michael Connelly with The Fifth Witness is out there. Lisa Gardner, who we've had here on the radio show, talking about Love You More. Jonathan Kellerman has a new Alec Delaware novel out. Mary Higgins Clark. James Patterson has two that are out there. So that's definitely a great way to go ahead and check out and see what's coming up. And I use it because it's when, you know, it's the most complex way to do it. Next weekend, we are going to have author Kim Harrison come on. Kim Harrison is the paranormal supernatural writer, and her books have just been flying off shelves. She's going to be talking about Pale Demon, which is her ninth book in the Hollow series, and she's going to be on at 9 a.m. Pacific time right here on Suspense Radio, so you definitely want to make sure you check out Kim Harrison. It's been a great show, and Lise Wheel is always a great guest, and her book is Heart of Ice, and you can find her at leasewheelbooks.com. And check out what she's doing. And if you haven't read the Triple Threat series, you don't have to really go ahead and start with Face of Betrayal or Hand of Fate. You can jump right into Heart of Ice and kind of work your way back, because the three books, like we said, you know, it's a great setup. It's like 1,200 pages of great setup with the characters, and you can kind of go back. But now, as she mentioned, not confirm or deny, book four is going to be a shakeup. So I would suggest getting into these three books right now before you go ahead and get to book four, and because that's just going to be where the shakeup occurs. So we are headed off right now to the Artsy Book Festival downtown in Los Angeles. I hope everyone would come out and, you know, check us out and see us. It was funny yesterday that I, you know, sent a blog out saying this is where I'm at, and I got a blog back saying, oh, I'm in the next room. So I think that that's hilarious. And we actually met the, you know, we met them and we talked with them, and so that's something that we'd love to have happen. So, again, if you're around town, I don't know if you are, but it's definitely something that you should check out because it is a wonderful event to be able to, you know, meet your favorite authors and, you know, hear the panels and what they're talking about, shake their hands, see the books, everything that's going on. Check out any of the things that are going on, because there's so many of them around the country that you can go and check out. Find one that's close to you and, you know, hit one a year. If that's all you can do, hit one a year, because these are a great event. So, again, everybody, thank you so much for joining us here at Suspense Radio, Lise Wheel, leasewheelbooks.com, Heart of Ice is the book. See you next Saturday for Kim Harrison at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We are out.